Deuteronomy chapter 33. Praise the Lord. As we sing the song, Showers of Blessing, let's learn from the scripture how the Lord sees the word blessings. Chapter 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. A blessing before the man of God. He bids farewell to the people and he ends the race one last time for the name of the Lord. And verse 2 he says, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. And he shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. And his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people, all his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet, every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. And bring him unto his people, let his hands be sufficient for him. And be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. Whom thou didst prove at Massa, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father, unto his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the lines of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all bow our hearts and pray. Our great God of heaven, the Lord who led his children throughout the wilderness, and the Lord who blessed the children on Mount Gerizim, Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the people, the children of God in our lives. Without them, O Lord, there is no journey, and our life is not complete without one another. For you are in your children, O Lord. We are all the parts of the word, and we complete the fulfillment of the word of God. Eve waiting for the Adam. Lord, we thank you. You are the only one who can prepare us. You are the only one who can wash us and make us clean. Father in heaven, we submit our life at thy feet. May you speak to all of us today. Our sickness in our mind, in our body, in our soul, in our spirit, whatever that is not acceptable in thy holy presence, Lord, we stand here empty, naked, and we bow our heads and we embrace the work of the Lord, and we surrender to the King of Kings, the High Priest, the only one who can heal us as a whole. Lord, we pray, may you walk in the midst of us today. And may you touch every one of us who stand in thy congregation, for we are yours. This place is yours. Our life is yours. The work of our hands is yours. Lord, we pray, may you bless us that we glorify thy beautiful, wonderful name in our lives. Lord, we pray for the great physician to be here, not to heal the sickness of our body, but to heal the body of Christ, but to wash the body of Christ, but to examine the body of Christ, and to help us to continue to abide in the Word, and continue to share the burdens with one another, and fulfill the law of Jesus Christ, the only one for whom we are all breathing today. Lord, we surrender our everything and this sermon at Thy feet. May You bless us that we do everything that is acceptable in Thy sight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all prayed, Amen and Amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. We thank the Lord for the blessings in our lives. As we sang this beautiful song, it's also the same song people were singing when I got married to Sister Anita. So the song reminded me of marriage. So the Lord blessed us, but our mind only wants to remember the blessing, because we always want to forget painful things. But do you know, the curse of the Lord upon His children can also yield life. Before the blessing comes, there must be something to get your attention to the one who can bless you, right? The Lord would never drag you to bless you. The Lord would never force you to bless you. He would make you to be in a place, to be in a situation where you will be able to receive the blessing. And that place is a place where you are broken, where you are empty, where you know nothing but God is my creator and I am His creation, and for that reason I just yield. In all those wars in the past, when a king takes over another kingdom, before he killed the king of that kingdom, he would place the sword on his neck and he would ask him, do you yield? Do you want to surrender? Before he take off his head, he would give him one last option, one last glimpse of mercy. Yield. Just say that you failed. Just say that you are lost. I can let you live. But if that king thinks that it is better for me to die rather than accepting my failure, rather than accepting my mistake, rather than losing my faith, let me just lose my life. You see, the deception, the blindness of what you want to achieve can even consume your very own life, and you won't be there tomorrow. So yield is a sign of, you tell the Lord, you are the king, I am the servant. You tell the Lord, you are the priest, I am the one for whom you are interceding. You are the high priest, I am the one for whom you are offering all the sacrifices. You are the healer, I am the sick. You are the savior, I am the one who was lost. You are the redeemer, I am the one in captivity. You are the Lord who reveres His truth, the Lord who grants His salvation. I am the one who is called the sinner. When that place happens, when that situation embraces you in your life, then you would listen to the voice of God. So, before the death of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 33, you can easily remember this. Jesus Christ, He was walking on this earth in flesh for about 33 years, and He died about 33 years plus. And Deuteronomy 33 also talks about the very last blessing of Moses before he goes to a better place, to be with the Lord. But before he winds down his journey, he blessed the people from the bottom of his heart. And his heart was filled with the abundance of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. He did not curse the people before he died. He just blessed them. Because cursing was done before. Don't think Moses is very lenient. No, he is ruthless. He cursed them before, but he blessed them one last time. So, 33 presents the blessing of Moses. I only read the two main focus, Judah and Levi. And we still have another 9 more sons. We only read Reuben, Judah, Levi, and there are 9 more sons of Israel to be blessed. But let's focus. The line of Judah, the King of Kings, and the High Priest, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who share the beautiful purpose of Judah and Levi, the son of Leah and the son of Leah, Judah and Levi, both the sons are sharing the same mother. But Joseph is completely set apart because he is the son of Rachel. When these two mothers gave birth to the children, one praised the Lord and one thanked the Lord. Amen. What do you mean by I thank you, Lord? That is different. I praise you, Lord. That is different. Amen. So thanksgiving is you receive something and you want to be grateful. Praising, you exalt the name of the Lord, how mighty He is, how good He is. You exalt His name. You give all glory and honor unto Him. So we can't separate. A heart of thanksgiving is important before you praise. I can't simply praise the Lord. It doesn't mean anything. And you also cannot simply say, I only thank you, Lord. But you also have to praise the Lord. So thanksgiving and praises. Rachel and Leah and the children, the fruit of the womb. And what Judah is doing, what Levi is doing, and we are reading the scripture. So now, Moses, Aaron, from the tribe of Kohathites, or from the line of Levi. So now Moses is blessing the people because the Lord is speaking to Moses face to face. He put his words in Moses, and Moses gave his words to Aaron, but now Aaron is taken. So 40 years of journey and almost 39 years completed in the 40th year, in the same year, Aaron was taken, Moses was taken. So around 39 years of wilderness, but in a single year, in an acceptable year of the Lord, both the mighty servants of God were taken. And in that year, so many things happened. Drawing the borders of the territory of promised land, and Aaron dead, Eleazar appointed, Moses died, Joshua appointed. So many things happened in a single year. But 39 years, they had to wait for that single year. You can easily remember the number 39. How many books are in the Jewish Bible? 39. Easy to remember. So, before Moses died, he blessed people. But why Moses told the people, after you cross the land, go to Mount Gerizim and bless the people, and go to Mount Ebal and curse the people. Today is the day, behold, there is a blessing and there is a curse. And the 12 tribes of Israel, they were cut into two. Six. Six to bless, six to curse. The 12 stones on the breastplate of Aaron, and in the fold there is Urim and Thummim. Amen? When Moses blessed the people of Levi, or the children of Levi, how did he bless them? Let thy Urim and Thummim not be with you, not under the subjection of your own flesh or spirit. Let thy Urim and Thummim be with the Holy One. You know how important it is being a priest of the Lord, a servant of God. We can use a scripture, we can fool the entire world. The Lord is telling me to do this. The Lord is moving me to do this. The Lord is inspiring me to do this. But what Moses said, let thy Urim and Thummim be with the Holy One. Your life, your works, the direction of your path, let it be with the Holy One, not your own life, your own self. Because the judgment of the Lord, that is from the house of the Lord. If Aaron is standing here with the 12 stones on his breastplate and the holy things on his forehead, and he bears the iniquity of people of Israel, and in the fold there is Urim Thummim, and the judgment of the Lord begins from the house of the Lord. Amen? And Moses blessed the people of Levi. I am pronouncing, I am prophesying, the children of Levi who are called, sanctified, consecrated, washed, anointed for the service of God, let thy Urim Thummim be with thy Holy One. It's a warning, it's a blessing. Never in your life try to tell the world and tell yourself this Urim Tumim from the Mighty One. But the Lord can see. Amen. So when Moses blessed, he blessed them, remain as the children of God, where the Urim Tumim is with the Holy One. The Lord is having dominion over our life. Amen. The mind of Christ is the most important blessing that we all should receive from the Lord. For us to think, speak, decide, act as how Jesus would do. So when Moses blessed them, the last verse, he also put a shield around his children. Because those who are separated to serve the Lord in the tabernacle, Moses, he literally builds a wall when he blessed them. And what he says, bless Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Establish the work of my hands, Lord. David was singing the song. He's also a priest. Establish the work of my hand. Whatever I do for you, Lord, help me that I do according to your will and pleasure. If not, it would never be established. We can spend our whole life and the Lord would simply say, what have you been doing against my will? No one can serve the Lord in our own sincerity. Our fervence, our dedication, our commitment might be completely against God's will if we are a bit careless. So, Moses says, smite through the lions of them that rise against him. Who? He is blessing Levi. Him. And of that hate him, that they rise not again. What do you mean by rise not again? Which means they were allowed to rise. By whom? Who sends the adversity in God's children's life? The Almighty. So, they shall rise not again. Is it the same that what God promised Joshua? No man can stand against you. So now, with this final blessings from Moses concerning the tribes of Judah and Levi, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24 to 29. Brother Clement, read it for us. Deuteronomy 11, verse 24 to 29. Thank you, brother. 24 to 20. You can read until 32, brother. 24 to 32. God bless you.
Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day.
Amen.
And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goes down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwelleth in the campaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh? For you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you.
Amen.
And you shall possess it and dwell therein.
Yes.
And you shall observe to do all the statutes and judgment which I set before you this day.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24 to 32. Moses is guiding the people what is about to happen. that after you cross the river of Jordan, when you go to the other side, it's not over. The Lord has placed a blessing and curse at the same time, on the same day, on two different mountains called Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. You can choose which mount you want to climb. You can choose which mount you want to stand and receive what is going to be spoken. But it is not an option. Remember, two or three Sundays ago, we studied the beautiful inspiration of the word Amen. All the people that received and understood, and they said Amen. And what they told Moses, all that the Lord had said, which we will do, and be obedient. Amen. And now, when Rosoil was reading, have you seen, there was only one single word that set apart the entire 8 verses of blessing. Those who keep the commandments of the Lord and be obedient. And the Lord says, if you obey, the blessing is yours. If you disobey, the curse all yours. The problem is, we cannot take a common neutral situation or place because there were only two mountains given, either Ebal or Gerizim. There was no other third option the Lord gave. Either you serve Him or you serve the world. Either you obey Him or you disobey. Either you are blessed or you are cursed. There is no such word in the middle. A-B-A, nay-B-nay. When the Lord speaks, He speaks in the same manner in all the different pillars of His teaching. A-B-A, nay-B-nay. And if you think it's tomorrow, the Lord says today. And then Moses said this before he entered the promised land. But he did not enter. But the people entered. But when the Lord told Moses and Aaron, He used the word, when ye enter. So, what is the beautiful lesson that we all can take from there? The life of Aaron, the life of Moses, for the people. If the people enters the promised land, the life of Moses, the life of Aaron also enters the promised land. Why? The work of their hands established in the salvation and the redemption of the people. Establish the work of my hands. For what? That fulfills God's work, which cannot be destroyed anytime. Because His mercy endureth forever, His children will rule with Him forever. So now Moses is telling, in 11, chapter 11, he says, go there and you will be blessed or you will be cursed. But don't worry, you will have the power to choose. But before he died, he had the power to bless them and he blessed. So there are two things that you need to learn from the life of Moses. One, that he was entitled to do so as a child of God, a servant of God, speak life, speak blessing, desire for good things, willing to sacrifice his life for the people of Israel. And there are things that he completely obey to the Lord, which might be completely ridiculous to the people of God. What they would say, you are here, Aaron is here, Eleazar is here, just bless us. And Moses says, until the work is done, it is not done. So 11 may seem very simple, right? Let's go deeper. Deuteronomy chapter 27. We are still in the book of Deuteronomy, because in a span of from chapter 11 to 27, then 27 to 33, Moses died in 33. That was his last song. But in 11, he already told what's going to happen in Gerizim and Ebal. So now, let's read from chapter 27, from verse 1 to 12, brother. Verse 1 to 12. This is where Israel is about to build an altar and Moses is speaking to the children of God.
And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey.
Amen.
As the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee. Therefore it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster.
Plaster.
And there thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones.
Amen.
Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God.
Amen.
And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take ye and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God.
Amen.
Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, That these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim, to bless the people, when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Joseph, and Benjamin.
Next two verses, 13 and 14.
And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, and Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice.
Amen. Thank you, brother. With a what? Loud voice. Who speak? The Levites. Now Moses is speaking to the people the details of what he said in chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 24 to 32, Moses introduces what's going to happen in Mount Gerizim and Ebal. Blessing and curse. Now 27 unfolds the mystery of it. What's going to happen? But what is so beautiful is, it's about building an altar as a remembrance. Any altar needs stones, and those stones need to be put together with a plaster. Remember the sermon on untempered mortar? And the Lord destroyed the wall to show the watchman, Prophet Ezekiel, you see, I told you, the plaster which they used to cement these stones are not the one that I asked for. So the Lord had to destroy the walls and to show his prophet Ezekiel that this needs rebuilding. Last Sunday, we ended the sermon with Leviticus chapter 14. Because that is going to be the main focus of today and also next Sunday or the next Sunday as the Lord leads. Why it is so important. What we read in Leviticus 14? The priest will come and see the house and he will see if there is anywhere the plague is still cleaving unto. And he will shut the house for how many days? 7 days. And you will come and visit again, whether the plague left or still there in the house. If it is there, he will break the house, the timber, take out all the plaster, and he will put it back, everything, after washing thoroughly with the right materials, right ingredients, as the Lord commanded. And he is the only one can pronounce whether this house is clean or unclean. He that believeth on him, he that obey his word, the life of God abideth on him. He that disobey, he that believeth not in him, the wrath of God abideth on him. Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal, light or darkness, blessing or curse, life or death, joy or weeping. Do you know weeping is not the same as crying? Jesus cried, wept, that is the weeping of burden, godly burden, soul burden for the service of the Lord. But sometimes our flesh also weep for no reason. Complaining, criticizing, not satisfied, no contentment, no satisfaction. You know, it's always running, chasing some lust in terms of food or health or wealth. No matter whatever the Lord gave you, you would never feel I'm full. that lust, right, would never be quenched until it is burnt in the fire of the Holy Ghost. The power of anointing destroys the yoke. And what is the destruction? What is Mount Ebal? And why we focus on the mountains last Sunday? Why? Are mountains all just natural beauty, tourist attraction? If you look at the earth, if you call it as a plain, a single mountain in that place can make you not to be able to say it's a plain. Why? There is no level ground. There's a big mountain. You also cannot call it as something is rising because it is not a building to rise. It was there even before you were born. It was there. The mountain was there even before you were born. You started how to learn to how to walk. Mountains of God. The mountain of God. God's creation that makes you to lift up your head and see, what is this that is bigger than me? Why am I so small? Can I go and carry the mountain? No. Can I go and punch the mountain? No. What is mountain? Stronger than me? Bigger than me? I did not make it. If the people build the same mountain, the Lord would call it as Tower of Babel. What is this rising from the ground? People are using all the stones here and there. They build a Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11. And the Lord says, not happening. He scattered them. But the mountain was there. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. Why the word dust? Why the word rock? Rock, you break it, you will get stones. Amen? And stone, they can build an altar. So, if I have a big stone here, you would say it's a big rock. If I break this big rock, make it into small, small pieces of stone, then I can build the shape of an altar. You would say an altar made with stones. And those stones need to stick together. Then you need to put a plaster. So before Moses talks about blessing and curse, he focused on three words: altar, stones, plaster. In our time, we can say stone, cement, and the altar. Not this one, spiritually I'm speaking. Because do not forget, you are the spiritual priesthood built upon the chief cornerstone. The house of the Lord. The tabernacle of the Lord. The temple of the Holy Ghost. So Leviticus 14 talking about a plague enters into the house and the priest goes and inspects everything and he breaks down, tears down, builds everything, but he will have the final say to say unclean or clean. Is it he or the Urim Tumim, the leading of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, the guidance of the Holy Spirit spiritually in our life? What Moses said before he died? Children of Levi, let thy Urim, Tumim, be with the Holy One, not with you. But Apostle Paul said, the spirits of the prophets, subject to the prophets. Isn't it the same? Of course. The spirits of the prophets, subject to the prophets. The Lord says, just because you earned a name prophet, doesn't mean that I speak to you all the time. Because you can twist with your own thoughts, your own emotions. And Moses says, let thy Urim and Tumim be with the Holy One. Because there is only one Holy One. And the Lord says, I am holy. So because of that, you also be holy. But you are not holy. If you are holy, the Lord would not say, we are holy. He says, I am perfect, be ye perfect. Because you are imperfect. I am holy, be ye holy. Because you are unholy. The importance and necessity of having a priest in your life is absolutely critical to understand. You are called to repent, not to exalt. You can choose. I will climb the Mount Gerizim. Same climbing process. You will feel pain. But you will have the joy and gladness and the reverence and honor to reach the top of the mountain. On the other side, Mount Ebal, same. Slope is there. You will go and serve the Lord with all the compulsion, weariness, complaint, criticism. You will also serve the Lord on top of the Ebal. The Lord would say, I never knew you. You heal the sick, cast out demons. The Lord would say, I never knew you. Your mouth speak about me. Your heart is far away from me. From where? From Mount Gerizim. Why are you standing in Mount Ebal? Go to the Mount Gerizim. What Moses said, this holy mount, don't touch. You will die. Why? When Prophet Elisha was waiting, and his servant came and said, Master, my Lord, a big army is coming.
They are coming to destroy us. What can we do? Just two of us. What can we do? And Prophet Elisha, he prays to the Lord. Lord, open his eyes. When he saw the mountain, not the land, the mountain was filled with chariots, the armies of God all around. The mountain. So if you go and spiritually touch the mountain, you are going against a warfare which you are not built for. The Lord protects the children with angels. Do you really believe that? You read in the Bible, but you don't believe that. Don't lie. You think that is fantasy, that is Old Testament. So the Lord is not the same yesterday, today and forever. How do you see angels in your life? You want them to come with some wings, with some chariots, to show some mighty divine show? That is not how God works. Things have gone subtle in New Testament. Things have been mighty and grand way of presenting in Old Testament. But in New Testament, everything became subtle. Why? The Spirit is given. Things of the natural things should not see things of the Spirit. The Lord cast a blindness. Now, Moses is saying, 12 tribes of Jacob, Israel. I am also from one of them, Levi. But Moses is not bound to any of them now. Why? He is standing in a place to represent the voice of God. And he says, 6 go to this side, 6 go to this side. Bless them here, curse them here. But same congregation. He did not divide the congregation. He divided the 12 stones into 6, 6. When Jesus Christ was crucified, on the right, on the left, both of them are called thieves. Both of them are called the congregation of the Lord. And the Lord also called himself, I come like a thief. Yes, he was also crucified with 2 thieves. He didn't joke with people. He is a thief. Those 2 spies went into the city of Jericho. Were they not thieves? They came to steal Rahab. They came into the city as a thief to steal Rahab the harlot, to redeem her, to save her from the city that is going to be destroyed. Those 2 angels, they were like thieves, came and stole Lot. So, one was judged to life and he told, today you shall be with me in paradise. The Lord did not say, let me take some time. I am going to resurrect on the 3rd day. Only then I will have a license to take you home. No. He said, today you shall be with me in paradise. And what Moses said, today is the day you will be blessed or cursed, but not by anyone, by you. Not by anyone, but by you alone. Not by the influence of someone, not by the influence of anyone, but by you and you alone. Gerizim or above. Why? Let's continue. From before we read verse 15 to 26, remember, our heart is filled with joy and we say amen when we hear a beautiful inspiration or blessing, or you're asking for some answer and the Lord gives you answer. You say, amen, Lord, praise the Lord. I know the Lord will answer me. You talk about obedience. Now, there is going to be a series of cursing and the Levites are speaking with a loud voice. Do you have the boldness and courage and the trust and the faith in the Lord to say amen and the Lord curse you? Do you have that? Can you say that? You see what is going to happen. Next 8 verses, before he blessed, the first thing that came was curse. And that curse, it did not invite silence, but rather it invited amen, 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 every single verse. Why? Please read, my brother, from verse 15 to 26. Please load the 3 images and also the 4th one. The last Sunday I showed the 2 mountains. That one. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Chapter 27, verse 15.
Amen.
Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen.
Amen.
Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, And all the people shall say, Amen. Amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say, Amen. Amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen.
Amen.
Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen.
Amen.
Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, Amen. Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, Amen.
Amen.
Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen.
Amen.
Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Before we read the set of blessings, let's look at the very last verse of the sequence of curses. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. So, this set of verses may look like, it talks about how well disciplined the people of Israel in the wilderness, how holy they should be, this and that. But is that so? Is the Lord always thinking about some small, simple things to keep the people in their place? When he speaks for ages. When he speaks, he remembers his covenant with Abraham, and he remembers his promise with all the forefathers, and he remembers what he is going to do at the very end. And he speaks always focusing on the outcome of it. If Moses can tell the people, you go to the other side of the land to bless them, the Lord Almighty, great God of heaven, who is beyond time, how he would see? Past, present, future. How he would see? Then how he would bless the one who is not bound to time, the one who is not bound to what we are going through, the one who is all in all. When the Lord blesses children through his vessels, it's not just bound to the time of that time. Only the law was subject to time. But the blessing, the warning, the curses from the Lord, it goes beyond time. Because God's word is always about fulfillment. So, before we talk about the blessings, when the Lord separated the group of six who will bless the people, Joseph was there, Benjamin was there, Judah was there, and Levi was there. Correct? Let's focus on these four, because very important, right? Joseph, the Lord used him to deliver the people of Israel in Genesis. And before he died, he said, the Lord will surely visit you. That was his last blessing, warning, curse to the people of Israel. Why? The same word can be fulfilled in different forms. The Lord visited Nabal, the unrighteous man, and he struck and he was killed. The Lord visited Naaman, the leprous man, through his prophet Elisha. Although he was so stubborn, so proud, but yet he found grace and mercy and he was healed. The Lord visited. Can heal life or can judge anything to death. Correct? So that's what Joseph said before he died. And Moses also presents his blessing. And now we are in 27, where Moses is forming two different sides of a double-edged sword. He is simply teaching all of us what the double-edged sword will do throughout the seven church ages until he come and take all of us home. So, Joseph was a blessing. You can say Benjamin, they were always against the family of Judah. No, Benjamin was a blessing. When Joseph saw his younger brother Benjamin, he hugged and cried, with love. Saul was used by God mightily as long as he was holding on to the anointing of the Lord. And he fell, became a spectacle for all of us to learn a lesson from him. not for us to insult him. He is an anointed servant of God, a king. And even more so, he was not applying for the job of being a king. He was somewhere. The Lord called him. And Prophet Samuel spoke to him. And the scripture says the Lord gave him a new heart. He did not repair his heart. The Lord gave him a new heart. What does it mean? He will put a new spirit within you. And David saw what happened. He learned a lesson. He prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, because he can do so. So, the anointed vessels of God, the children of God, the servants of God, you could see from the way Moses segregated, yet he kept Reuben in the first, in the second group. And that is why, if you look at verse 13, and these shall stand upon the Mount Ebal to curse, because the Lord is using his children to speak the words. Amen. Now, Reuben, Gad, Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, and the Levites shall speak. Who shall speak? The Levites shall speak, not with moaning or groaning, but they say unto all men of Israel with a loud voice, like a thunder, like a thunder. Loud voice, with confidence, assurance, boldness, and courage. It is not us who speak, but the Lord is speaking for the life of children. Now, if you look at the curses, may look very harsh, very violent. But my brethren, when the Lord destroys the yoke, pain comes first, before the healing takes place. When the Lord makes you to see Him, repentance comes first, before salvation enters. Every soul has to repent, for all have sinned, and we are all not worthy and fall short of the glory of the Lord. Repentance is the door the Lord wants us to open for Him to enter. Amen? So, the curses of the Lord upon His children are nothing but those kind of a shield with thorns and fire for the Lord to protect His sheep. Imagine this small green pasture, all the walls around. Outside the wall, there will be curses around. Those who curse thee will be cursed. Inside the wall, those who bless thee will be blessed. Do you see it in the nation of Israel? You would see it forever. So, the double-edged sword protects his children, comforts his children, heals his children, and also on the other side, destroys all the darkness, all the snacks of the devil outside the wall. The armies of Sennacherib was smote by the angel of the Lord outside the wall. Because they were not allowed to step inside the wall. Because inside the wall was sanctified, consecrated for the holy things of the Lord. Amen? Now, why Moses started by cursing? And why people said, Amen, Amen, Amen. Do we have that sincerity to say that? Because we don't want any punishment from the Lord. No, my Lord is a great physician. He always heals me. No fever, no cold, no back pain, no ligament injury, no cancer, nothing. He is a great physician. Better than all the specialists in this land. Is that so? Body of Christ should be remembered by your heart when you pray to Him, Oh, great physician, body of Christ, spiritual priesthood built upon the chief cornerstone. Indeed, He's a great physician. So now, before we go to chapter 28, I want us to remember the journey of Exodus before we go deeper, because the Lord is the one who put the plague in the midst of his children. The plague was not introduced by enemy. Who is enemy to the Lord's kingdom? The Lord is the one who put the plague in the midst of his children. Why he said that? It all starts from here. We need to learn from here. So let's start the first image. I want all of us to think about the different routes and scenarios of journey, but let's not fix unto anything. But the only thing that is fixed in this journey is from the journey from Mount Hor to Mount Nebo, the death of Moses and the death of Aaron. Death of Moses in 33, Deuteronomy, and death of Aaron in Mount Hor, when Eleazar was, he received the garments. So, I hope you all can see the screen now, okay? So, there are multiple scenarios of the journey, but we are not going to focus on the routes or the scenarios. But I want us to focus on two things. 39 years of wandering here and there. There are multiple, you know, conspiracy theory, this and that. Now, 39 years of wandering here and there. For example, this is option number one, the Mount Sinai is here, or the Mount Sinai is here, which is mainly believed to be so here, on the other side of the Gulf of Aqaba, in the land of Midian, where Moses met his father-in-law and his wife for the first time, you know, in the desert. Or the Mount Sinai is here. But just focus on this journey, this straight line. And if you look at these two images, Egypt, Sinai Peninsula, there are different crossing or different routes taken. But look at the corner. I just want all of us to focus on the corner, which is unwavering, agreed by all, because there is no choice because of Mount Hor and Mount Nebo. So, this is one scenario, and this is another scenario. The Mount Sinai is here. So, I want us to approach from another perspective before we go to the Mount Gerizim and Ebal, image number two. This all will be sent to you, so we all can use it for Bible study. Please zoom in. So before we go into the map, I want to see this text here. Can you go to full screen, brother? Is it a full screen option? It's okay. So, Exodus 3:17-19 talks about Mount Horeb. Because when Moses blessed, he remembered what he said, the Lord came to Sinai. Did he say that very specifically in Deuteronomy 13? Before he blessed the people, before he died, he said, the Lord came to Sinai to speak to me and to bless you all, to give the commandments, right? So, the journey of Israel, you can focus from Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. So, the land of Midian is here, correct? Land of Midian is here. So, the first 40 years of life of Moses was in the palace. The second set of 40 years of Moses was in the wilderness. He was here, desert. And the last 30 years of Moses, the Lord used him in the wilderness, correct? But what do you think? Where Moses spent his life in that second phase of 40 years? In the desert. In the land of Midian. Somewhere around the same area where the people of Israel roaming here and there. So do you really think that Moses was walking in the area that he was never aware of? Was he blinded? Was he a wanderer going here and there or a sojourner? Exodus 3 shows Moses was in the land of Midian, correct? Could be somewhere in the desert, could be here or here. But he was in the desert for about 40 years, correct? Now, in another, you can see the route directions. One shows Mount Sinai is within this peninsula or here. But I want you to remember from 1 Kings 19:14 when Prophet Elijah, and there is a beautiful similarity, both people of Israel and Prophet Elijah, they took only one day to go to the wilderness. Now I want you all to think spiritually. When Moses blessed the people, cursed the people, what he said, today is the day, on the same day you receive what the Lord is speaking. On the same day. When people of Israel were delivered from the land of Egypt, they reached the wilderness in one day. Do you hear me? The scripture says here, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day, not another day, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. This is the wilderness of Sinai. And 1 Kings 19:4, but Elijah himself went a day's journey. One day journey into the wilderness. And he arose. Because in between, the Lord gave him something to eat and drink for him to receive the strength. How many days he took to reach the Mount Horeb? 40 days, 40 nights. How many days your Savior, Jesus Christ, was fasting in the wilderness to be tempted? How many days? 40 days, 40 nights. So, and he arose and did eat and drink. Remember this, he arose, did eat and drink, and that's all. The Bible says, and he went in the strength of that meat, which means the next 40 days, 40 nights, he did not take anything else. That meat, which meat, my brethren? 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. It's always called the Mount of God. Where God met Moses, the Mount of God. So, Prophet Elijah took one day to go to the wilderness. Prophet Ezekiel, the Lord told him, go to the plain, I will come and see you. I'll talk to you face to face. My spirit will come into you, it will set you upon your feet. Prophet Ezekiel. Prophet Moses, Prophet Elijah, one day journey to wilderness, today is the day the Lord has made, rejoice and be glad in it. If you want to do something, do it today. Wilderness. But the rest of your life, go in the strength of that meat. What is that meat? The spiritual manna or the manna fell from heaven, the bread and fish. So, God promised them that He will deliver them from the land of Egypt. They were able to reach the wilderness in one day, but yet, they could not wait the next 40 years and 40 years of days and nights. They could not wait. They could not wait. There was no obedience. There was no faith. There was no sincerity. There was no selfless attitude. But rather everyone was selfish. And the Lord had to place a blessing and curse for what? To protect His seeds. To protect His house. To preserve His tabernacle for them not to destroy themselves. Do you hear me? No one can destroy God's children but by themselves. No one can destroy you, but you can destroy yourself. The Lord placed a blessing and curse to protect the children from themselves. He can settle everything outside the wall, but inside the wall, the judgment of the Lord begins from the house. And that judgment, brethren, is a double-edged sword. Straight, not crooked. So, this wilderness and this prophet Elijah's journey, go to the next one, please. Third image. Let's look at the third scenario. Zoom in, please. In all the images, I want you to keep your eyes fixed on the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. Because that stretch is the only line that is unchanged from all the conspiracy theories. Mount Sinai is here, Mount Sinai is there, from the perspective of Moses, from the perspective of Jethro, from the perspective of Prophet Elijah. Praise the Lord. But that one last lap of race that Moses and Aaron ran together. When Moses finished the race before he died, Aaron finished the race before Moses finished the race. But they died in the same year, around the same year, 40th year. One was 120 years old and one was 123 years old. Around 3 years of difference. Easy to remember how many years your Savior was doing the ministry. 3 years. How many years Prophet Isaiah was called to walk naked. 3 years. How many years the Lord promised the tribe of Judah will be restored. 3 years. Why 3 years? The Lord is so concerned about 3 years. Everything has a purpose in what the Lord is doing, and we will go deeper. Why? 3 years, 3 days. So now, this journey of Mount Hor to Mount Nebo is unchanged in all the scenarios. And now let's go to the last one, which is what I presented last Sunday. Now let's fix our eyes on Mount Gerizim. Because Mount Gerizim is, we all know where it is. Because Gerizim and Ebal, they are side by side. And what Moses said, aren't these mountains on the other side of Jordan? Because why people are thinking, can you bless us now before you die? Because we are actually walking with you just for the blessing, you know. We just want you to finish writing the books of Torah. After that, you can go. All we need is something that benefits us. Was that agape love? Is that so? You know, my heart sometimes burdens when I read the book of Exodus. What this man went through. Moses. Imagine he's writing Leviticus. 1, 2, 3. He's writing Genesis. And someone come and throw stones in his mind. Hey, why are you so peaceful? Come and solve this problem to us. What is this problem? No water. Or this brother hurt me. This sister hurt me. Come and solve the problem with us. He come and solve it. Again he went to go on his knees. To pray. To have the spirit of the Lord. To exclude himself from distraction. To come to the holy presence of God. To embrace the mind of God. To write the book with the finger of God. He's writing. Then Korah comes. Moses, come down. We want you to fight with us. Then Moses, go down. Solve the problem. Again, go. Let me finish writing the books of God. And people say, no. We will kill you until we are satisfied with our unfaithfulness. But the problem is that unfaithfulness was not able to be quenched. even after the death of Aaron, Moses continued. And what the Lord said, he has to step in to put a shield, to put a wall, to put what is good, what is not good, to put the plague inside the camp, to distract people, that his servant will not be distracted. You want to see? You will see. The God whom you serve, he is righteous beyond our little mind. Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal is here. You can see Ebal is here, Mount Gerizim is here to bless the people, and the death of Moses around this Mount Nebo. From Mount Amarim unto Mount Nebo. And Moses saw all the plain. He draw the territory. Do you see? There is a curse that Moses spoke in the same chapter Brother Zoyal read. I will read that verse. The verse is neighbor's territory, which is verse 17. Is Deuteronomy 27, verse 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people say, Amen. Whatever happens to land of Israel, those who played with the territories of Israel, which Moses said, this is the boundary God had set. Not unto the way of Mount Horeb. He put a territory right around Jordan and all the places. Whoever played against the territory of God's children, whoever played against the boundaries of God's children, and Moses says, the Lord would even curse if you just go and play with your neighbor, if you go and play with the next office and tell them, I want to move this, you know, wall. Need one more feet of inner space. The Lord would say, it's not right. It doesn't belong to you. Even in the Ten Commandments, the Lord says, do not have this lust for someone's wife. We can say, oh, the Lord is being very, very strict. What happened to David? How many years later? Ten Commandments, so simple. By God's grace, we will have a series on Ten Commandments, how deep it is. If people can remember Ten Commandments, can follow Ten Commandments, the world would have been a better place. Amen? You would even be surprised. If you close your eyes, I can challenge you, you may not remember all Ten Commandments. You may not remember in the sequence of what the Lord spoke to Moses. Then you would think, oh Lord, forgive me, I am weak. How many of you remember the 12 tribes of Israel? You would struggle to remember why the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. How many of us remember the 9 fruits of the Spirit in the same sequence Apostle Paul wrote? It's not about memorizing. It's all about the remembrance by the Holy Spirit. Why? When there is no desire, the deep cannot call you from deep. Amen? So, when Moses said, I'm going to bless you, not me, but the words of the Lord when you cross the land, and he's telling them the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire will lead you, the word of the Lord will shield you, hold on to the Lord Almighty. But what people did, we will hold on to the law of Moses. This attitude happens in every single church age. People build an altar for the prophet of the Lord whom the Lord used to serve him. Isn't it? But the Lord is new. He is new every day the way he works with us. So now remember the Mount Gerizim here. And Deuteronomy 27, 28 that Brother Zoyal is reading. Moses is speaking those words not on the mountain. Far away in terms of space and time. Before the time, before the place. He is telling the people, remember this, write it down, do it when you go there. Amen? Now please, brother. Close this. Please read from 28, brother. Now let's see what the Lord blesses the people of Israel. And you think why the people didn't say Amen. From chapter 28, from verse 1 to 10, brother.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day.
Amen.
That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field.
Amen.
Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store.
Amen.
Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face.
Amen.
They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways.
Seven ways. Amen.
The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Amen.
The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways.
Amen.
And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called the name of the Lord, called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. When the curses were uttered, for every single curse, people were shouting Amen. But when the blessings were uttered, you don't see the word Amen for every single blessing. But I want you to think from the perspective of when the Lord called his servants, his children, deny thyself, repent of your sins. If the Lord says, these are the curses that will shield my children from anything that come against them, and the people say, in my free will, as I have to choose between the good and bad, in my free will, with all my heart, in submission, in obedience, Lord, I say Amen. When you say, Lord, I subject to your chastening, I submit to the way you work in my life, even if it is painful, I know that you would never destroy me. I submit. If the plague comes, I know it will yield its fruit. If the sickness comes, I know it will yield long suffering. If someone betrayed me, I know it will yield forgiveness. Whatever. If all the punishment that come upon me, it will yield life, because the Lord would not warn you if he had not planned to save you in the first place. John the Baptist says, who warned you, you brood of vipers? Jesus said, who warned you, you generation of vipers? Then what does it mean? If you are warned, the Lord wants to save you. If you are warned, the Lord wants to deliver you. The Lord wants to use you. Amen? So, 6-6 stood on the mountain to bless and curse. And the blessings are going. There are still a lot of blessings to come. But before the blessings were uttered, there was a conditional statement Moses put in verse 1. He says, it shall come to pass. That's it. What? That's it. The word of the Lord shall come to pass. Do you really have to fight for it? Do you really have to help God? Lord, don't worry. I'm here for you. I will make sure your promises are fulfilled. Who are you? Who am I? The word of the Lord will never return unto him in void. It will never go in vain. It will get things done, with or without anyone. But his seed will be part of his business. Amen? So, it shall come to pass. The prophet is speaking. Moses was not a simple man. He is speaking. If thou shalt hearken diligently. That's it. Verse 1, he says, the following curse, blessings are not applicable if you do not heed to verse 1. Correct? If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, what is your desire? To want to be high above all nations, or to obey the word of the Lord? Oh, brother, it's all same. It's not the same. The truth is, people love God, serve God for the very last promise that I read now in your life. God will sit on high above all nations of the earth. Oh, if I believe God, If I do all these things, the Lord will exalt me. The Lord will set me on high above all nations, high above all my family, high above all my colleagues, high above all my friends. The Lord will vindicate me. Why? Why the Lord needs to do all of this to vindicate you? Who are you? Who am I? When Moses is speaking, he's not speaking for little tiny things. He's prophesying how the Lord will establish his kingdom. How he is going to work in the midst of his children. He is the same in the wilderness. He is the same in the seventh church age. Same. So, all the following blessings, forget about it. Focus on the verse 1. That's what Moses said. All these are subject to approval of verse 1. If you hearken unto him diligently. If you keep his commandments, obey his voice. And what King Solomon said? Whatever that is going on in this earth, it's all vanity. There is nothing new under the sun. Fear God, keep his commandments. And when the Lord curse you, indeed, you would be have this fear. Oh, I should fear him who can destroy both my body and soul. Amen? He is the father of all spirit. He would not destroy his own spirit. He created us. Because now, the likeness and image, that is what we are getting at. Now you see, and all the blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. What? What? The blessings will overtake thee. His mercy, his goodness is running after me. And his blessings overtake thee. But most of the times, we want to carry God's blessings as a mighty servant of God. And we want to lift it up with all our strength. And say, brother, keep it, God's blessings. Sister, keep it, God's blessings. Remember, the Lord Almighty, whom you serve. Remember how he works. Blessings overtake thee. The Lord knows when to overtake you. But he will do so when you walk with him humbly, bowing your heads, your mind, your thoughts, and walk with him humbly, he will overtake you. And people don't have to say, oh, Moses, are you blessing us? Oh, apparently it seems I have to say amen. If I don't say amen, your prophecies won't come to pass. True in your life. Prophecies faileth. True in your life. Not in his kingdom. All knowledge fails. True in your life. Not in his word. Never. Whatever the Lord has spoken will come to pass in his children's life. In his holy tabernacle. Not outside. Outside faileth. Inside he reigneth. So now the Lord says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You don't have to say amen to what I'm going to do. You don't have to help me what I'm going to fulfill. You know what Jesus said? They will drag you out of synagogue. They will kill you thinking that they serve the Lord. Because that's what happened in the Old Testament. People say, we follow what Moses said. We follow what Branham said. We follow what my pastor said. We follow what my uncle said. We follow what my husband said. What my wife said. The Lord says, I am speaking. Listen to me. In the Old Testament, the Lord is uttering words about how he introduces the word plague. Do not be careless. Do not say, oh, this plague came by the enemy. The Lord says, I put the plague. Can't you even see? You call me my father. You said, I'm your father. Don't you even know how the father works? Then who are we? Children of God? Are we? If a child can't even recognize the father's voice, then what do you mean by saying that I am his son? A child should recognize the father's voice. A child should understand how the father works. Now you know why 39 years of tuition was required. Is it journey? Is it wilderness? It's nothing but a class, a lesson. Not for the people of Israel alone, but for the entire generations until we all go home. Now the blessings might encourage you, but for me, the curses are encouraging me even more. Because do I have that courage to say, the Lord come and say, if you disobey, I will destroy. I say, amen. It is better for you to be destroyed instead of profaning his name. Amen. Why you want to live as an enemy of the Lord? It is better you die. The Lord did not take pleasure in insulting you. He is blessing you. Even the curse he can transform into a blessing. Amen. Jacob went for Rachel. He got Leah. Was it a failure? Who is Leah? Levi. Reuben, Judah, the line of Judah came from who? Remember, the line of Judah came from who? Leah, not from Rachel, but Jacob wanted Rachel. The Lord said, I'll give you two blessings, don't worry. I will raise Joseph, I will raise Levi, I will raise line of Judah, all from you. But I will use different way of working in your life. But he paid the price. 7 years, 7 years, he paid the price. And why 7 years, 7 years? Why the priest shut the house 7 days? Why the priest kept the leper outside the camp 7 days? Why 7 more days? We will study by God's grace. But before I go there, I want all of us to remember, it all was spoken after Moses said, altar, stones, plaster, or mortar in King James. Cement. A cement needs water and some ingredients to make a paste. Then he stick that paste and wall can be attached together as one. Amen? Amen? So now, let's read the disobedience. We may think the curse all over. Very simple curse. You know, I observed this in my life. Even all of us, we think, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse, I'm a good man. Because that is a base reference, right? For you to be called as a good man. Oh, I don't steal, I don't kill anyone. Oh, 5 fantastic qualities of big good man. Go and study the history of the most notorious gangsters and criminals. They are super punctual than you. They were absolutely sincere in their lives. They don't drink, they don't curse, but they had the thought of cunningness and pride and power to destroy the whole world. They are better than you in what you think that you are good at. If you think, I come to church for 50 years, non-stop, very punctual, very sincere, please go and look at what happens in all other religions. They are even more religious than you. They would even go to the extent that they will say, they will just praise their faith and they will kill themselves. You can't do that. You won't do that. Whatever that we think that we are good at, write it down and see if you can find it in the world. You will find it more beautiful than what you have. Then how God separates obedience, faith, unity. Because these things you can't find. You can't find. You have to have this self-consciousness. How do I keep myself separated from what I see? If you don't have the consciousness, you will be confounded. I'm a good person. I don't drink. My brethren, you don't drink because you don't like to drink. Forget about it. You don't smoke because you don't like to smoke. That's it. I challenge you. Whatever that you are weak at, you like it, so you keep it. Your past memories, your ego, your pride, you like it. Because that is even more dangerous than the piece of alcohol. But you don't accept that. No, I'm a spiritual person, I'm going through some challenges in my life. The Lord would say, that alcohol is not dangerous than what you're drinking now. Your own thoughts. Remember this, my brethren. Our goodness is not the goodness God is expecting from you. We may say, see, I dress very modestly. I always cover my knee, everything. Praise the Lord. But that is secondary. There is one more. The spiritual garment. The Lord can see. The Lord can see all of us naked. He can see who has the sickness on their body. He can see the spiritual clothing of all of us. He can see how we are clothed. We can, but if we are so concerned about the outward appearance, like what God told to Samuel, not the first son, the 8th son, what God said to all of us, I don't care about how you perceive yourself. Pharisees, Sadducees, they were so concerned about how they keep themselves. We are not here to be stiff, but we are here to become water. Now, this blessing, what Moses said, altar, stone, mortar, this is the main focus I want you all to remember. Because building the altar was the main goal, but before that, there was a remembrance of blessing and curse. Now, let's turn your Bibles, the same chapter, but I want to read from verse 25. I can't read the full chapter, but I pray that you all meditate this week. We will read from verse 25 to 37. Yes, brother, please. Verse 25 to 37, same chapter. Why there is a captivity and why there is a plague introduced by the Lord Almighty.
Verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee 7 ways before them.
Amen.
and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and
blindness,
and astonishment of heart.
Astonishment of heart.
And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee.
Mm.
Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof.
Mm.
Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and thou shalt not be restored to thee. And thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away. So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy God the Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee.
Amen. Yes, brother, please stop. So, one set of cursings, one beautiful set of blessings, and one extreme severe set of captivity and plagues. So if you are all the same people standing in that multitude, you would be filled with mixed emotions. What is happening to us? Is it why I came to the promised land? Is it why I came all the way to this Mount Gerizim, crossing the river of Jordan, to hear this extreme harsh words? I thought this land is going to be filled with milk and honey, but it is filled with blessing or curse. We are only given one choice to choose. And Moses is telling all of this without even entering. So people carried the words of Moses. They carried, they went and crossed the river Jordan, and after they reached the place, these words have to be uttered, correct? So they had to carry the word. Until they reach the place, they cannot utter those words, correct? Because the Bible says the Lord had a place for them to be blessed in that land. In that land. So now, verse 27 says, the Lord will smite thee, not the enemy. Not your enemy, not the enemy of the Lord, not something very powerful, no. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the hemorrhoids and with the scab and with the itch, and thereof thou canst not be healed. You say, great physician, what a mighty divine healer. The Lord shall smite thee that no one can heal. Only Him is the only healer who can heal. The Lord will make sure that your healing can never come from anyone. Amen? The Lord can make sure of that. Let's take one good example. Who can reveal the truth? He alone. That's it, correct? Your life being unfaithful man, walking dead, is also a sickness. The Lord can come and heal you to see Him who He is, correct? The Lord says, the plague that He will put in His house is for the people to seek Him, to cry unto him, to call unto his name, and to invite his presence in the midst of the tabernacle for him to destroy all the plague and to show him mightily and to tell the people, I am here. And for that reason, that plague will glorify the name of the Lord. If there is no plague of killing the firstborn, there is no Passover. Correct? In order for the Lord to show what is Passover, he sent the plague and he killed all the firstborn. Blood applied. So, we are going to travel from here, the word plague. We have to spend this many chapters for me to take the word plague. Because it should be etched in your mind. Curse, blessing, plague, and all from him. Amen? And he says, no one can heal, only I can heal. He clearly said that, correct? Remember the word scab, itch, from head to toe. From head to toe. Now, let's go to the main focus of how the Lord is going to teach us today. Leviticus chapter 13. This is very important in our lives. I pray the Lord prepare all our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our intents to receive this blessed inspiration from the scripture. Because Leviticus is here, I just came from Deuteronomy 11, 27, 33. Correct? Now, Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1. I read this. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, you only see this very rare, not in all the occasions. It always says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, then Moses went down and spake to the people. But here says, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, a bright spot, three things. Remember these three signs of leprosy, not the physical leprosy. We are focusing on the spiritual priesthood built upon the chief cornerstone, bride that is clothed with the word, clothed by the spirit, put on Christ. And the Lord has been teaching all of us concerning the purpose of the skin on your body. It covers the inner organs of your body. It is nothing but a covering of your flesh, correct? When the skin opens, you see the raw flesh. Correct? Skin is part of your flesh that covers your flesh. It's a covering. It's a covering. When a child is born, for you, the child is naked. But for the Lord, the flesh is beautifully clothed by the skin. So leprosy is a plague, a disease that mainly focuses only on the outward appearance of the body, correct? Not inside. But it is the consequence of what is going on inside that is shown outside. The signs, when the spirit examines your heart, it is nothing but a doctor examines a man with leprous disease. The spirit will go to your heart, will check your heart, what happens to your heart. Examining the intents and thoughts of the heart, correct? So now, when a man, he has his three signs, rising, scab and bright spot, not limelight, bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest. The Lord is speaking to Moses. The Lord did not say, they will bring him to Moses. No, the Lord says, Aaron the priest, or, you use the word or, you say, or, Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons, the priest. Whoever is consecrated, whoever is anointed, washed, clothed with the holy garments. High priest has the four extra additional breastplate, everything, tumim, 12 stones. But there are priests who are also consecrated, anointed, clothed to serve the Lord. And the Lord says, this sort of plague and sickness can go to Aaron or the high priest, the sons of Aaron. Aaron the high priest, the sons and daughters of God, the brothers and sisters in Christ. No, when I say brethren, let's think from seventh church age and as well as in the Leviticus. Amen. But this word, when the Lord says priest, that is entirely different. What the Lord is speaking in the wilderness concerning Aaron, Eleazar, all the sons of Aaron, Phinehas, Ithamar, all the sons of Aaron who were separated, washed, clothed by Moses, and they are going to do something to this plague. Correct? But who sent the plague? Who put the plague? Leviticus 14 says, the Lord is the one who put the plague in the house. Now, verse 3 says, the
priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. So for that, the man should come closer to the priest, correct? Can you call the doctor from your home and say, I think I have this symptom? I say, come. Come and let's meet face to face. And the priest shall look the man from head to toe. The spirit examines your heart from top to bottom to the deep of your entrails, correct? So the spirit, the priest look into the man, and when the priest look into the man, the Lord see that man through his vessel, correct? Now you see, when the hair in the plague is turned white and the plague is sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. So moving forward, whenever I say the word unclean, unclean, I want you all to remember how the Lord is dealing with all our lives with the double-edged sword. Just to life or to death. Blessed today or cursed today. You are going to rejoice today or you are going to suffer today. You can say pain, joy, sorrow, weeping. Two different extremes. That is what I want all of us to embrace. Two different extremes. Haughty-minded, lowly-minded. Full of faith and full of confusion and doubts. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. What do you mean by pronounce, my brethren? When Jesus Christ is walking, I think in Mark chapter 1, and he saw a leper, and the leper came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you are willing, I will be clean. You know what a beautiful prayer request is? He didn't ask him, heal me. He said, if thou art willing, I will be clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. How come that man of leprosy can know the thought of Jesus Christ? Lord, if you are willing, I will be healed. And the Lord says, I am willing, you will be healed. Mark 1, 44, 45. Please read, brother. Mark 1, 44, 45. Let's remember the high priest. That man of leprosy had to search Jesus, had to go near to Jesus, had to show himself to Jesus, had to tell Jesus, if you are willing, I will be healed. According to your will and pleasure, not according to my desire. Mark chapter 1, I believe it is in chapter verse 40 to 45, brother. Chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, please.
And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Clean.
And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And he saith unto him, see, thou sayest nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded thee for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to ablaze abroad the matter, in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So now, a man who needed healing went to the healer and proclaimed his faith by saying, if you are willing, I will be healed. And the Lord says, I am willing, you will be healed. But the testimony was not over. Jesus said something very important that is pointing all the way back to Leviticus 13, I am reading now. Jesus said something that is extremely important even when he was standing in front of the sick. I want to read from Luke 5 so that we get another perspective. I will read from Luke 5. Luke chapter 5, same incident, same verse that Brother Zoyal read, but I will read from Luke and see there is a slight addition. Here a little, there a little, the Lord add the blessing. Chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, not half, not partial, not some, full of leprosy,
Stephen, a man full of faith. Remember the word? Full of faith. Now this man is full of leprosy. You think it's a curse? Was he just full of leprosy? But you see how he speaks. Who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. All things were possible unto you, Lord. And the only thing that he said was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And he said, if thou can heal me, because if you are willing, you can heal me. He just proclaimed his faith. And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man. So the Lord told him something, don't tell this to any man. But go and shew thyself to the priest. The title of today's sermon. Shew thyself to the priest. Or deny thyself, know thyself, here come again, shew thyself. Why? No, none of us didn't say that. It was spoken by the high priest whom you serve. Jesus Christ says to that man, I healed you. It's not over. Shew thyself unto the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much more, when there a fame abroad of him and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So what Jesus said, he was so happy with such a massive crowd coming to him to make him as a big brand. Was he there enjoying the healing show? No. What is the next verse? He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. That is the Lord whom you serve. All infirmities, all prayer requests, all desires, all your expectations, all your desires, all that what you want to see in your home, in your church, the Lord withdrew himself to wilderness and he prayed. If you want to go and meet him, take that one day journey to meet him in that wilderness. People of Israel, they were delivered from captivity. They still had to take that one day of journey to go into the wilderness. Prophet Elijah, one day of journey, go to the wilderness. What is the day? Every one of us, today is the day. Whatever that you want to do, restitution, reconciliation, repentance, making things right in the presence of the Lord, in the holy tabernacle of the Lord. The Lord says, today is the day. I am in the wilderness praying. Come. Come and meet me. When the Lord met the woman, he told her, I want water. But she went to preach about him in the city. Did he follow her? He was sitting in the place where he was sitting. He waited for those who have the hunger and thirst and faith and desire. They were searching for him and they found him sitting at the Jacob's well. Those who think, let him come to the city, I'll wait for him. He would never come. Jesus withdrew himself, went to the wilderness and prayed. He told the man, do this, don't do anything else. But the one who was healed, he was so happy and he proclaimed the Lord's goodness. And because of that, the fame was spreading. It is inevitable. And the Lord knows that. But he did not do anything to please the man who was healed. But rather he focused on his wilderness and his prayer for the final piece of work that he will get it done on Calvary. Now where this leprosy is coming from, brother? Where this leprosy is coming from? Why Jesus said, go shew thyself unto the priest. How many of us are truthful to the church? How many of us are transparent and truthful to the church? How many of us? There is one high priest and his name is Jesus Christ. And he has a position in the church. It is head. What? Head. Where the eyes are there, who can look you from head to toe, who can examine you, who is the only one who can heal you. No one can heal you. But the Lord says, shew thyself to the priest. Do we do that? Let's take another beautiful example. Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. From verse 11, 17, from verse chapter 17, from verse 11 to 19, brother. 10 virgins, 10 commandments, 10 plagues, 10 goodness. So thank the Lord. But let's look at what happened to these 10 lepers before I go back to Leviticus. Let's finish the gospel lessons. Book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11 to 19.
And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they stood, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, shew yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9?
Where are the 9?
There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole."
Amen. Thank you, brother. 10 lepers stood afar off, and they came to the Lord for healing. He healed them, and he told all 10 of them, same commandment, same instruction, the same that he told to the one leper, he told the same to the 10 lepers. He told them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." He used the word plural here, priest. What Leviticus says, Aaron or the sons of Aaron. Go and show thyself to the priest. Do not limit your mind with your body and sickness. Take it out. We are all focusing on the spiritual body of Christ, the perfection, the pruning of the branches. What the master is doing, the potter who is molding the clay. So now, Jesus says, there are 10, right? Only you came. What happened to the 9? 1/10? Easy to remember, right? You give tithing to the Lord. You give 1, keep 9. That is okay, because the Lord said that. With a cheerful heart, amen? Not with compulsion, doubts. If somebody wants to do something for the church with a doubt, it is better we don't do it. You know why? You are not helping the church, you are serving the Lord. If I come and tell the church, I'm going to give everything of my life to the church, and I go and complain and groan, it is better I don't do that. Cheerful heart is that living sacrifice. And this is just a sign of it. Amen? Just a sign of it. Does God really need our mighty hand and help? When people of Israel went into the wilderness, please tell me from where they got the gold. The Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. They took everything from them. Egyptians can help God's people. Who are we? The whole earth belongs to Him. Who are we? But hear what the Lord is teaching all of us. If the Lord blessed you with 10 testimonies, we bring with 1. We hide 9. Oh brother, it's a lie. Let's think deeply. The Lord is speaking to all of us, right? He healed 10. He gave all the blessings to all of us. We bring 1 and we keep 9. And the Lord says, where are the 9? I healed 10. Where are the 9? Ananias and his wife, they were trying to hide something from Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter said, the Lord says, submit, yield everything at the feet of Jesus Christ. Not about the physical money. Look deeply what's happening there. Did Apostle Peter want to kill them? No. He simply spoke them the truth. Ananias fell and died. The wife came. He spoke. Wife fell and died. Why? So Apostle Peter is a murderer. He baptized 3,000. Praise the Lord. Baptized 5,000. Praise the Lord. Oh, he prophesied 2 died. Praise the Lord. Are we fighting against flesh and blood? What the Lord is speaking? Is he remaining as that righteous, almighty, the high priest that we see, who call all of us to enter into the holiest with the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you see what he is doing in our lives? Now this one man who came, the Lord said, arise, go, for thy faith made you whole. The one leper who came to the Lord, he was full of leprosy. Do you think it is sickness? we are going to be surprised by how the priest pronounced the one who was leprous clean and unclean. The Lord would surprise us. 13, we will focus now. Now you remember the healing of the Lord, right? From the gospel. Now you see, Jesus prophesied, "Be thou clean." Priest pronounced, "Unclean, clean." Pronounce in Leviticus, prophesy in gospel, correct? Do you see? The priest look from head to toe and say, "I pronounce thou clean, thou unclean." And Jesus says, "You believe me, you trust me, I say, you be whole, you be clean." He prophesied. The healer prophesied. Amen. Now turn to 13 again. Now we focus on how the signs of leprosy is presented. Now how the priest, he examines. Verse 3 says, when the hair in the plague is turned white, verse 3, and the plague inside be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. First pronouncing unclean, not the word clean. Verse 4, if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and inside be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, and the priest shall shut him that hath plague 7 days. How many days, brethren? Last Sunday, we read Leviticus 14 that was only focusing on the house. Correct? House. You see the way the Lord works. Now you are focusing on man. Last Sunday, it was house. And the Lord also talked about the leprosy of the plague in 3 different categories. Man, house, garment. Last Sunday, we just touched based on the 14th chapter on house. We have not yet entered into the deeper understanding of it. Because I want to start from man. Man of the house. It always starts with the man. So now, verse 5 says, after he shut him up for 7 days, the priest shall look on him the 7th day, and behold, if the plague in his side be at stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. So another 7-day period comes. But the priest checks on him on 7th day. Now, verse 6, and the priest shall look on him again the 7th day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. The very first pronouncing was unclean. Now the pronouncing is clean, but not without checking thoroughly. In other words, for him to pronounce unclean, it was done in one single verse. For him to pronounce clean, it took 2 sets of validation. 7 days, 7 days. The word of the Lord, refined, purified like silver, 7 times. Why 7? Why again and again and again? Why? Because the plague will arise again, spread again. And in that way, the Lord wants us to exercise our faith again and again. And that is the only way you say, "Lord, I keep falling in love with you over and over again." By how? By being part on the in the battle of righteousness. Now, when we fight against the sickness, now verse 6, the priest says, "It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean." The word scab, we just read from Deuteronomy 28, when Moses was speaking curse, blessing, plague, he used the word scab. What you saw in Egypt, I will take that plague and I will put you in the midst of you. Where? In the promised land. But come on. Why? We were escaping from that. What do you mean you will simply establish the same punishment again? Now, verse 7. If the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. Why Jesus spoke those words? The answers are in 12, 13, 14 in book of Leviticus. Which is not physical, but extremely deeper in our spiritual life. And it says, if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. So now, these are the signs of leprosy, how the priest examines, right? This plague The priest says it can stick into the walls of the house. How? Leviticus 14 focuses on the house. The plague can still stick in the walls, in the house. And the priest had to destroy the house, bring it again. And now the same plague can also cleave unto your garments. The word the Bible uses is cleave unto. It can have an influence. What is that influence? The plague can have an influence in three different aspects of your life. The clothing, your body, and the place where you dwell. Three. You, your clothing, your house. Correct? Now, why we are focusing on the word Moses and Aaron? Because let's turn our Bible to Numbers. Before this comes, what the Lord told very strictly to Moses and Aaron. Numbers chapter 5. Numbers chapter 5. Remember, Numbers 20, Moses died. Now we are in Numbers 5. Numbers chapter 5 from verse 1 to 10, brother. Thank you. Chapter 5 from verse 1 to 10. Numbers.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, that they put out of the camp every leper, and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead. Both male and female shall ye put out without the camp, ye shall put them. And they, that they defile not the camps, in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp. As the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that men commit, to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sins which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. But if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even to the priest, beside the ram of the atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him. And every offering of all holy, of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priests, shall be his. And every man's hallowed things shall be his. Whatsoever any man giveth to the giveth the priest, it shall be his.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I want us to focus on verse 2 and verse 3 first. Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead. What? The disease, this plague, this sickness is identified or linked or referred to by the Lord by saying influenced by something that is dead. Defiled by a dead corpse. That leprosy, that plague that was believed to be a disease spreading from the dead people meat or something that is dead corpse. Were we those people walking dead in the book of Romans that we read? A blind leads a blind, both fall into the ditch, correct? A sinner influences a sinner to remain as a sinner. A wicked person embraces a wicked person for them to remain in their fellowship of wickedness. A dead calls everyone to be dead. In truth, in spirit, in service, in joy, in gladness, in peace, in whatever that we can do for the Lord, that dead corpse will pull you down to remain as a dead corpse. And Moses Aaron says, this sickness is very dangerous. It cannot enter the camp because it will spread and will kill every people, correct? The moment the plague enters, it has only one job, spread. One job, spread. The plague is called plague because it spreads. Over time, it spreads. Now, Numbers 5, the Lord is giving specific instruction to Moses and Aaron and to the people, put out. Was anyone out of such command? What happened to Miriam? Or Miriam can say, hey, I'm a prophetess. I'm the sister of Moses. I'm the sister of Aaron. 7 days she had to wait outside. She was put back into the camp after she was healed. Who is the camp? Moses, during Exodus chapter 3 or 4, he put his hands in his bosom. He saw his hand was full of lepers. Then he put it back. Then his flesh was restored like the rest of his flesh. What do you mean the rest of his flesh? If the whole body is full of lepers, white as snow, was it unclean or clean? What do you think? What? If your whole body is full of lepers, white as snow, are you clean or unclean? The priest says, pronounce him, you are clean. Surprising, right? Hurt. I'm full of disease. I'm full of leprosy. I'm full of submission. I'm full of humbleness. I'm full of contempt. I'm a sinner. I'm full of submission. I'm not worthy. You are clean. Rest of his flesh. Imagine, my whole body is red color. Then suddenly my hand becomes green. And say, this is out of the picture of the body. The Lord says, put it back in your bosom. The hand restored like the other flesh. All become green. Oh, tree of righteousness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All the branches are now green and lushy. With all the water coming from the life. But if the Lord says, your whole body is red, but your hand is green. No, Lord, I want my whole body become green. The Bible says, the hand of Moses was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the whole body becomes red. The Lord says, you are clean. What do you mean? How we see our life, how we see our church, how we see our fellowship, like the rest of the flesh. Conforming to the image of God is the unity of spirit, and the way the Lord deals with the disease of leprosy, we are surprised how the great physician will do his work. Do you know there is perfection in imperfection? There is perfection in imperfection. Why? Because you know you are imperfect, right? It is perfection. Who would admit I am imperfect? A one who received the fruit of the Spirit to understand where he stands and say, Lord, I am imperfect. That is perfection. Please read, my brother, from 13, Leviticus 13. Let's go to Leviticus 13. Now, this is what we read in Numbers 5. Leviticus 13, from verse 10 to 20, brother. 9 to 17. Leviticus 13, from 9 to 17.
When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean.
Clean.
But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean.
Unclean.
And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. he is clean.
Amen. Yes, brother. So, we will read one more chapter before we close the sermon today, but I want us to focus on the way the priest unfolds things. Verse 13 should be etched in our heart and our mind. Verse 13. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 13. Then the priest shall consider, my brethren, who consider? The priest shall consider, Jesus Christ thinks what we can do. What I can do for my children, what I can do for my seeds. The Lord considers. The question is, do you consider? The Lord considered for you, the Lord considers about you, the Lord considered everything about you, but do you consider? Read verse 13, in a way, how the high priest sees his children. The priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, my brother, my sister, all his flesh. To you and me, this person is better, 30% leprosy. This brother is gone, 100% leprosy. Oh, I pity you. May the Lord heal you. And the priest shall consider, the priest is watching. The priest, the author of salvation, is still writing your life, who is the finisher of your salvation, the author and the finisher. And the priest sees and considers, and what the scripture says, the leprosy spread full of his flesh. And he shall pronounce him clean, he that had the plague. What? What do you mean by clean? You mean I have the plague and you call me clean? Who put the plague? Please tell me who put the plague. So, do you have the audacity and courage to say, I won't carry what the Lord put? And the Lord says, I put the plague. So, you only want beautiful blessings, not the plague. And the priest says, if that plague consumes the flesh, and the leprosy was all over his flesh, no raw flesh, no your own understanding, your own pride, your own ego, your own face doesn't appear, because the leprosy fully covered you, white as snow. What the book of Revelation says? The white robe, the fine linen clothing, the righteous deed of saints. Clothe them in spirit and in word. And what does the leprosy represent? In the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus Christ, he transfigured in front of his three disciples. James, John, Peter. Wow, awesome, beautiful. And Moses was there, Elias was there, appeared in front of them. His garment was like a light of raiment and he was shining. They can't see him. Moses' face was glowing when he came down from the presence of God. So can he say, oh Moses, he has a shining leprosy. His skin is white, but glowing. But people were scared of him. Moses had to cover his face with a veil. Stephen was inquired. And people saw his face. Why his face was glowing like an angel? And now the priest says, you think you are weak, you are gone, you are sinner, your life is destroyed. Surprise, you are clean. Why? That prodigal son, he was full of leprosy, of his own understanding, own sin. Then he stood up. He said, what am I doing here? Eating the food of swine? I am not worthy. I am not good. I am not sincere. I am a sinner, full of evil thoughts. But I belong to my father's house. I shall turn aside and I will run to my father's house. And the priest came and saw him. Surprise, you are clean. I will change your garments. He hugged him and kissed him. It happened to you. That is why we are sitting here. That bright spot, that bright mind, that bright thought, we are someone special. And the Lord says, know thyself, but shew thyself. To whom? The high priest. Present yourself as a living sacrifice to the one for whom you are sacrificed. And the one who sacrificed you, he is the high priest. And the Bible says, verse 13, pronounce him clean that had the plague, it's all turned white, it is clean. The Lord did not remove the leprosy, but he turned the curse into a blessing. That is God whom you serve. The leprosy did not disappear. It changed into a beautiful white raiment upon that man. And priest said, you are clean. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt that whether God is with me, God is in me, can I serve, can I do that, can I do that. The Lord says you are healed. Do not listen to the voice of the enemy. Do not listen to the deceptive twist of the devil. Shew thyself. Gather together as one body of Christ. For the high priest can look at the church as one bride. If we can't even gather as one, how the high priest can say, I will heal you as a one single unity divine beautiful bride. Bride decketh herself ready for what? To deny herself, to shew herself to the groom, to the high priest. Now verse 14. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. Oh, this is the old man we are fighting against. Out of nowhere, the old man will suddenly come from the tomb and say, hey, surprise, I am the old version, the mightier, stronger version of you. Let's have communion together. High priest say, unclean. That old man should be buried under the skin. He should not come out. Should be in the tomb. Don't invite him. Don't give him resurrection. That old man must remain as dead. Now this plague, my brethren, it spreads into the house. It spreads on the garment. And the treatment, what the priest presents here, is the same, identical, absolutely same for the man, his garment and the house. 7 days shut. But for the garment, the priest says, they will wash it first to make it clean. If it is still not clean, the priest will see the garment. And the Bible says, the priest can see the garment, the plague is spreading. What he will do, you know, the Bible says he will burn the garment, make it into ashes, so that that will not spread. The righteous deeds of saints is our garment, the robe of righteousness. And the Lord says, if it is wickedness, he will burn that garment. No man can find, and you'll put a new garment upon you. But for that, I have to be present in the high priest to show myself to him. Amen? Now, before we close, let's read, my brother. Please help to read from 14 to 20. This is where we end the sermon today. But I want you all to receive the verse as the brother reads. Leviticus chapter 14 from verse 1 to 10. Now, we observe the signs of leprosy and how the priest pronounced clean, unclean. Amen? And the Lord showcased his judgment. Now, how a man should do. That is 14. Please read, brother, from verse 1 to 20.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing.
His cleansing.
He shall be brought unto the priest.
Amen.
And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper,
amen,
then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive, and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times.
7 times.
And shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird live into the open field.
Amen.
And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes.
Amen.
And shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean.
Amen.
And after that, he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days.
7 days.
But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes. Also, he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean.
Amen.
And on the 8th day, he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish.
Without blemish.
And 1 ewe lamb of the 1st year without blemish.
Amen.
And 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean.
Amen.
And those things before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
At the door.
And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and with them for a wave offering before the Lord.
Amen.
And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place.
Holy place.
For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy.
Most holy.
And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed.
Amen.
And upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord.
Amen.
And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand, shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed.
Ear.
And upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering.
Thumb and toe. Amen.
And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him.
Amen.
That is to be cleansed.
Amen.
And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness.
Amen.
And afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother.
As we close the first stand and meditate what the words of the Lord uttered in Leviticus 14. In order for all these things to happen, the Bible says that man came forward like that prodigal son, like how the Lord expects all of us to deny ourselves, to come to his presence, for us to show our desire to him, for him to place the cross upon our shoulder, for us to follow him. It all takes one spark. It all takes one step. Amen? The rest he will do it. But that one step, that one spark, that one step moving forward is where we fail miserably. And that is where the Lord says, two is better than one. Two is better than one. We will focus on the living bird, water that was used to wash the clothes, make the people clean. But have you noticed one thing? In 12, 13, 14, there was no word about healing. It was all about unclean, clean. Wash, clean. Unclean, clean. All about clean, clean, clean. It was not even considered as a sickness to be healed, but rather it was considered as an uncleanness to be cleansed. Have you noticed that? But when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he healed those lepers in the Gospel, book of Luke and Mark, and the Lord healed them, and the Bible says they were cleansed. So this plague, this leprosy, is a spiritual sickness that the Lord wants all of us to be aware of in the seventh church age, the cloud of judgment, our thoughts that can be blurred, some sort of a plague, a scar, a bright spot, each that spread across all our spiritual understanding that makes us look like someone whom we are not in the presence of the Lord. And the priest can come and see some dark cloud is attached onto your shoulder. Some plague that is actually hitch riding on you. Let me separate. Let me cut it off. But how he do that? He wash. The Lord says you are not sick. Something is having dominion over you. Let me wash and you will be clean. And we sing to the Lord, Lord, wash me, Lord, I will be clean as white as snow. It all comes from here. Sometimes we think our life is broken, but no. Your lamp is good, the light is there, but there is something smoke that is actually not attached to the glass and the light is not able to shine. Why? It needs a cleaning. It needs a washing. It needs a cleansing process, and that can be done in the holy place. That can be done in the tabernacle. Remember these three as we will continue, because it's a blessed thought that we all should embrace in our life. A man can have the plague. The house can have the plague. The garment of that man can carry the plague. The service of your life can carry the plague. The work of your hands can carry the plague. The words that we speak can carry the plague. Why? What? When Roswell said, great toe, thumb, ear. So here, faith comes by hearing. Amen? So how do we hear? There can be a sickness in my ear. How I understand, how I misinterpret, how I perceive. And my feet, shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. My feet shows in a spiritual journey, where I go, what I do for the Lord. My hand, consider the work of my hand, O Lord, what I serve the Lord. And the priest apply oil on all three of it. Head to toe. So may the Lord bless us. The altar is made of stones, and you are all the lively stones where he breathed his life. It has to be plastered together by the unity of faith, unity of spirit. Not by anything else. Not by anything else. If so, that Shekinah glory will descend in the midst. And further, the garment must be washed for us to be clean. If the garment could not be washed, it is better to burn it and start afresh. The Bible says, burn that garment because it is beyond repair, and the Lord can give you a new garment. Let's don't fight the past that is not going to come back in our life again. Let's look forward. The high priest is able. The high priest is able to pronounce, but when he pronounced, he prophesied, it shall come to pass as it is. We will continue next Sunday. I pray that you all meditate in these two chapters, because I could not read all the verses, but I pray that you meditate. You seek and he will meet you there. Amen. When a woman gives birth to a child, Leviticus 12 says she will be unclean for 7 days. Who is that woman? Earth is compared like a womb, like a woman that gives increase to the Lord. Amen. The Bible says holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. He did not say all men are filled by his glory. No. The Bible says all earth is filled in his glory. Amen. If that woman can be that earth, can be the womb, and whatever that comes of it, Adam, he was made from dust. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. And that man, when that happens in Garden of Eden, that plague, that sickness came in that camp of Garden of Eden. So what the high priest did, he saw the plague, he saw sickness. Go out, put out of the Garden of Eden. 7 days, approximately 7,000 years, 1,000 years a day. Amen? 6,000 years we are standing here. The Lord will come and put an end. 8 day of cleansing, as he read. 8 day, new beginning. But 7 day, the priest will wait. God who waits, he is gracious. For what? He wants that plague to be healed. He wants sickness to be gone. Then he will put his children back to where they belong. The camp of God. The promised rest. The eternity where he will rule with him forever. Everlasting. Amen. So let's all pray. And remember what happened in Garden of Eden. How they were thrown out of the camp. 7 days of exile. Pitched the tent outside. But the Lord still sent his blessings for us to embrace the healing. To come and show ourselves to the priest. He will put us back into the camp. 7 days, 7,000 years, 7 times. The Lord who is dealing with 7 church ages, he is the same. May the Lord bless us. He is a healer. He will heal us. Amen. He will heal us. He will wash us. He will make the tabernacle to be a place of healing, to be a place of peace, to be a place of joy. It all needs unity to bring him in the midst of us as a Lord of harvest. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our God, our great God of heaven, the divine healer who put the plague in the midst of your children to show them how much you love them, to show them that your name is glorified in your children, in their faith, in their obedience, in their endurance, in their long suffering. Lord, we pray, may you examine our hearts. You are our high priest. We present ourselves before thee. Look into the intense thoughts of my heart, of our heart, our life. Lord, we pray that you touch us, Lord. Anoint us with your oil from head to toe. Consider the work of our hands. Establish the journey of our feet. Help us to hear the word with the right intent, with the lowliness of mind, with humbleness and humility, that you are God of heaven. And Lord, we are all nothing but on the earth, your footstool, Lord. We are not even worthy to take off thy sandals, but Lord, you are calling all of us to be your friends, to be your servant, to be your priest. Lord, we pray. Wash us and we will be clean. What whatever that cannot be washed, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Burn us, Lord, in thy spirit, and we shall be clean. Take off all things that are not good, and Lord, rebuild and restore and revive all of us, O Lord, as we are all loved by you. You are in us, you are watching over us, and we surrender ourselves, O Lord, in the house of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Amen and Amen. God bless you all. Shalom.